Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can also catch us anywhere you get your favorite podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, any platform you get your podcasts. Search for the Rob O'Donnell Show, favorite us there, and it'll go right to your podcast inbox each and every day. You won't miss a beat. Jake gets about anywhere between 3 and 5 of them up each day, and it'll cover the entire three-hour show here on that we do on WILK News Radio. It is coming up on 4:10, 69 degrees on this Thursday, July 31st, 2025. How's everybody doing? Thanks for joining us for the second hour here. If you are just joining us, if you're sticking with us for another hour, thank you. We appreciate you more than you realize it. The arena in Luzerne County was built in 1998, and it is built in Casey Plaza. It's never been called the Casey Arena. It's whatever the sponsor's name is at Casey Plaza. So if it was the Mohegan Arena at Casey Plaza, if it was the Wachovia Arena at Casey Plaza, it changed names. I couldn't even tell you how many times, whatever the sponsor is. But it is at Casey Plaza. So the arena itself has never been called Casey, from my understanding. So this story aggravates me for a lot of reasons. And again, I understand you're going to have a level of attack on anything that Trump nominates, anything that Trump pushes forward. But the Senate, here's the headlines from the Associated Press. And what would you expect from the Associated Press? Senate confirms Trump's pick for counterterrorism agency, a former Green Beret with extremist ties. Joe Kennett had already been working for the Director of National Intelligence's Tulsi Gabbard. He was just confirmed. The Senate confirmed Trump's pick to lead the National Counterterrorism Center, Joe Kent, on Wednesday. Now, regardless of what you want to believe about Joe Kent, and they connect his past connections to right-wing extremists and support for conspiracy theories around the January 6, 2021 riot at the U.S. Capitol. So you're still running with that nonsense. Now, he was confirmed 52-44. This man is a Green Beret, 11 combat tours. His wife was killed in action, who was a hero in her own right. I want this individual leading whatever agency the hell he wants or is agreed to serve at. Now, he enters the top role at the Counterterrorism Center after he ran for Congress twice unsuccessfully in Washington State. He's got a military career that saw him deployed 11 times as a Green Beret, followed by work at the CIA. His former wife, a Navy cryptologist, was killed by a suicide bomber in 2019 while fighting the Islamic State group in Syria. She was embedded with special forces. She is a warrior, a hero, and sacrificed her life for our country, as he put his life on the line 11 times service our country. You don't like his politics, fine. But you want to start labeling him because who he talks to, because of his ideas, because what he believes and doesn't believe, what he talks about. I think his actions speak well more louder than any news agency's words. But they connect, you know, had members in his circle from the Proud Boys for consulting work. He also worked closely with the founder of a Christian nationalist group, the Patriot Prayer. Oh, they sound dangerous. And attracted support from a variety of right-wing, far-right figures. So if this is this the standard now? Because if this is the standard, then is anyone who ever backed Black Lives Matter, because they've had a lot of extremist views and have done a lot more damage than anybody else that was just named, are they the left-wing extremists, including the former presidential candidate for the Democrat Party who set up a fundraising avenue for a lot of them? So is this the standard now? That's what I'm asking here. You don't like this individual because of who nominated him. His family has sacrificed more than probably anyone listening to this broadcast right now, including me. He has earned the right to hear from, be around, or listen to anyone he wants. 11 combat tours, Green Beret. Wife lost her life in combat working with our special forces as a cryptologist by a suicide bomber. And listen, he's not hiding it. During his Senate confirmation hearing, he refused to distance himself. That, and again, from a conspiracy theory that federal agents had somehow instigated January 6, 2021. Well, you can have a difference of opinion about that, but it's a proven fact that both federal agents and local law enforcement were shooting tear gas into crowds that were just there. This was before the violence started, to disperse the crowds, which then had the opposite effect. So you can have a differing opinion about that, but that did in fact happen, where members of the crowd were severely injured because of percussion grenades and the tear gas that was shot in. Not defending what happened that day. But again, if we are going to label, and you have, if that's your stance, that, hey, he associated with January 6th people, he supported a lot that happened on January 6th, if that is your stance, okay, well then anyone who's ever supported Black Lives Matter deserves the same treatment. And that's the equal standard, right? That's what we're going to go with. That's the precedent. That's the level of threshold. That's the line. Because you can't pick and choose and say, well, we disagree with them, but no. Just because a few people of Black Lives Matter, few, well, there were thousands who created billions of dollars of damage across the nation in some of our cities in the name of Black Lives Matter. The entities behind the charities, the 401c3s of Black Lives Matter, have been repeatedly shown to do nothing but enrich themselves. But yet you had major politicians, you had sports figures and actors and everything running. So they're all left-wing extremist supporters. That's the standard. Listen, you cannot like Joe Kent, the individual. But look into his history. Look into his family values. Look into the things he's done in his career. This is who I want in this position. And it's obviously who the president wanted. So when you see things written by garbage news organizations, extremist ties, is that what we're considering extremist now? Because if that's the case, well, then there's a lot of them. It's Planned Parenthood extremists. Is the American Federation of Teachers extremists? We can go on and on. So if you're going to set that threshold, if you're going to say, okay, well, this is okay, this is the standard for Joe Kent, this is what it's going to be. Well, then you have to have the flip side of that coin. And it's just disheartening at its worst. And it's downright disgusting on its face value. Here's someone whose wife was taken from him serving our nation, who, as a Green Beret, listen, I'm going to keep saying that because if you think that's an easy task, you are sadly mistaken. 11 combat tours, 11. Now, yes, listen, I just had this conversation the other day to where, you know, I've had family members, my own children on deployments, 9 months on a deployment. That's a long time to be away from everything. Special forces deployments are commonly shorter, sometimes 3 months, 4 months, but they are more frequent. And they do take that same toll. You know, how do you keep leaving everything that you love behind for a job and your love of country? But not only did he do it 11 times, but his wife at the time did it and lost her life for our nation, with embedded with special forces as a heroic cryptologist. If you look at her and his resume and what they did in the military, but yet because you don't like who nominated him. And that's all this is. That's all this is. Let's pick apart anything that Trump puts forward. And listen, somebody in the text messages said it. If Trump cured cancer, people would be like, we should all get cancer now. People are, if Trump came out against cancer, Democrats would rally in favor of cancer. That's the text messages. And you have the media parroting this. You have the media pushing this. And people are going to read that headline. It's like the New York Times the other day about the starving children in Gaza. Now, there's no doubt there are horrible things happening in Gaza. But they took a picture of an individual, a young child, being embraced by his mother and saying that he's starving because of the lack of food in Gaza. It turns out that that child has a genetic disease and is under medical care and getting therapy and getting a whole lot of things. Not living in a good situation in Gaza, obviously, but that's by no choice of Hamas, who started this whole thing and are using those people as human shields. But it had nothing to do with the child starving. Matter of fact, the new information coming out said he gets pretty good medical care. I don't know how that's possible, but that's what the new information that comes out was. To the point where the New York Times had to apologize and retract it. But what they did is, it was on the front page of the New York Times newspaper, this story. And they posted it from their main social media account, which has 55 million followers. Do you know where they put their retraction? And the true information about it, saying, under further information, this is the facts. They put it on their communication social media account, which only has 55,000 followers. Not on the front page of the New York Times that millions, if not tens of millions of people saw. Not on their social media, their main social media that has 55 million followers. They put it on their New York Times communications social media. Again, just over 50,000 followers. They know what they're doing when they do these things. It's done purposefully, just like that, because they don't care if they get it wrong. They don't care if they mislead you. They do start to care when they get caught, and then they do something like this. They apologize in a place that they know no one's going to see it. And it's up to you to seek out the facts, read more than the headlines, and call them out on it. Yesterday during this show, and someone who works in healthcare call up and say, I was lying about illegal immigrants getting Medicaid. And I don't cite my sources when I say things like that, and I constantly don't cite, and I cited it. Not only did I cite it, as I put it and posted it on my social media, the link so you could look yourself, verbatim, and said, okay, well, there is a circumstance that illegal immigrants do get Medicaid. Here they are. A far cry from, they just don't get it. You're wrong. You're lying. So those conversations, these conversations are worth having. But it's up to you to do the research and read more than just the headline. It's 4:22 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. So, looking to see what we have here. They have arrested an individual at Devil's Den out in Arkansas. Double murder of the husband and wife, 41 years old, both of them. Two children, 9 years and 7-year-old daughters that were with them on this hike. They just moved out there. Relocated because the father got a new job, and they were hiking an area trail, real rural in that area, very well known to Devil's Den, has a lot of caves, a lot of pathways out there, very, very photogenic, and somehow came into contact with this individual who's now been arrested and identified as a former elementary school teacher who also just relocated to that area. Now, he did have either some sort of tape, duct tape or electrical tape, obscuring his license plate. So was he planning to do something? I think it's a long shot to think that he was targeting these people specifically because they both came from different areas. There was no prior contact. But we're finding out more now that he did attack the father first. And the mother, thankfully, thankfully, had the wherewithal to take her two daughters and get them to their vehicle, secured them in her vehicle, and then went to go help her husband. And that's when she was attacked and succumbed to her wounds. Again, the suspect was armed with a knife. They are finding out now from his prior employment as an elementary school teacher, he did move around from job to job, and there were allegations, and again, just allegations at this point from prior families and of students, that he has had made inappropriate comments to young girls in his class, and saying that he had to leave, you know, one job because of that, and got another job somewhere else, and here he was leaving the state to another job. So a tragic situation. The girls were interviewed. There were numerous witnesses interviewed, and they're starting to put the pieces together. You know, why he targeted these individuals? Was he there just to do something? If you start to add the fact, you know, when I first heard he was an elementary school teacher, I was like, all right, maybe he just did not have it in him to harm and kill children. But it appears now, with his history of inappropriate context to comments to young girls and inappropriate behavior towards the young girls in his classes, which have caused him to move his job from place to place. And again, we don't know how many times, at least twice. Were these young girls, ages 9 and 7, the real targets here, to where he eliminated their protectors, their parents, starting with the father, who was the biggest threat to him at the moment, and then to the mother? And at that point, you know, why didn't he go to the vehicle? While he was headed that way, did he encounter other people and thought, okay, there's too many people here because it was the parking area? Very well could be. And I guess we'll find out more as this investigation moves forward. It is 4:32 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's the point of the show where we honor our heroes here at home in law enforcement who made the ultimate sacrifice on this day, July 31st, throughout history here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. We're going to start off with Police Officer Kevin Williams, Philadelphia Police Department. On this day in 1995, was killed when his emergency patrol wagon was broadsided as he and his partner was responding to assist other officers at Woodland Avenue and South 58th Street in Philadelphia. The emergency patrol wagon tipped over, and the officer, Williams, was ejected and pinned under the wagon. He died from his injuries. Next, we have Patrolman John Loftus, Scranton Police Department in Pennsylvania in 1927. He succumbed to injuries sustained the previous day when he was struck by an automobile at Providence Road. He had just reported to duty and was walking to his normal beat. He was struck as he attempted to cross the road with a civilian. The driver, who happened to be Patrolman Loftus' cousin, put him in the car and drove him to the hospital. Patrolman Loftus succumbed to internal injuries the following day. He was survived by his wife, father, two sisters, and three brothers. And Police Officer Joseph H. Ryan, Philadelphia Police Department, 1926, suffered a cerebral hemorrhage while directing traffic at the intersection of 5th Street and Wyoming Avenue. He was taken to the Jewish Hospital, where he died 1 hour later. He was a United States Army Spanish-American War veteran, served with the Philadelphia Police Department for 20 years. He was survived by his wife and two sons, again, 1926. And those are our three heroes here, one of them being right from our area in Scranton, Pennsylvania. You can call or text at 570-883-0098. A lot of text messages coming in. Somebody said, can you tell me again about the kayak launch? Didn't catch it all. Just got off work. Yes, that's they're building a Lackawanna River with the Lackawanna County Heritage Trail from Carbondale to Mayfield. They're adding a launch in Carbondale near the YMCA entrance there, park, and it'll end up in Mayfield. It's being bid out and should be completed by the fall, and it's going to be a great addition to our area. So, and if you ever miss anything on the show, you can Get that Odyssey app and go back and listen to different chapters earlier in the show. Or again, you can check us out anywhere you get favorite podcasts. Just search The Rob O'Donnell Show, and they'll be up later today. But for immediate listening pleasure, you can go to the Odyssey app. And again, later this afternoon, you will be able to get the podcast, which we'll also hear what was talked about today. So those are our options to bring you everything and anything we discuss here on The Rob O'Donnell Show. The president is signing an executive order right now expanding fitness in the sports council. We're going to talk about this. I actually had this scheduled because it was on his White House schedule, which I get a copy of each morning, to sign this executive order. And we're going to talk about this just before the 5 o'clock hour, where he's bringing back school fitness standards. Remember the presidential school fitness standard that there used to be? Well, that's coming back. And he just signed the executive order to do that. And that's a good thing. You don't like this president or not, that's fine. Having healthier children in our schools is always a good thing. And if there could be a standard to help motivate that, let's get it going, right? It's 4:40 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, segment for Today in History. Because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been? Had a little Rush time stand still there. And listen, I wasn't a big fan of Rush's newer stuff towards the end there, but that's one song I kind of dig, which is why we use it. So let's see what we got today. 1777, going way back. Marquise de Lafayette, appointed Major General in the Continental Army. At just 19 years old, French aristocrat Marquise de Lafayette was appointed a Major General in the American Continental Army. His service would prove vital to the American success in the Revolutionary War, especially at the Battle of Yorktown. A 19-year-old. 1790. The first U.S. patent was issued. The first patent under the new U.S. patent system was issued to Samuel Hopkins for a method of making potash, a key ingredient in fertilizer. It was signed by President George Washington, marking the beginning of the U.S. patent system. 1875, Andrew Johnson dies. President Andrew Johnson, the 17th president of the United States, and Abraham Lincoln's successor, died on this day in Tennessee. He was remembered for his continuous presidency during the Reconstruction era and is the first U.S. president to be impeached, though acquitted. 1964, Ranger 7 sends back the first close-up images of the moon. NASA's Ranger 7, again, 1964. Ranger 7 spacecraft successfully transmitted over 4,000 photographs of the moon back to Earth before crashing into the lunar surface. These detailed images helped pave the way for the Apollo missions and landings. 1975, the Teamsters Union leader Jimmy Hoffa disappears. Controversial labor leader Jimmy Hoffa vanished in Michigan. Though presumed murdered, Hoffa's body was never found, sparking decades of speculation and investigations. Is he here? Some people say maybe. Some say no. Some famous Americans born on July 31st. Milton Friedman, 1912, Nobel Prize-winning economist, known for his work on monetary policy and free market economics. Wesley Snipes, 1962, actor known for roles in Blade, White Men Can't Jump, and New Jack City. I actually met Wesley Snipes many times when he was filming Money Train, a movie where he portrayed a New York City transit police officer. Well, I was a New York City transit police officer. Jennifer Lopez was in that movie. Woody Harrelson was in that movie, all portraying New York City transit police officers. J.K. Rowling, 1965. Though British, her creation of the Harry Potter series has a massive cultural impact on the U.S. Some quick facts for today. The U.S. Navy's first African-American admiral, Samuel L. Gravely Jr., was promoted to Rear Admiral in 1971, breaking racial barriers in the military. And that is today in history. One of the other things, so we're talking about the NASA mission to that gave the first detailed snapshots of the moon that helped the Apollo mission and landing. I came across a story yesterday, and I did post it on my social media, and it was pretty concerning. Here we go. A rare interstellar object, and this is coming from the New York Post, but it's a thesis paper from two Harvard astrophysicist scientists. A rare interstellar object the size of Manhattan could be an alien probe with potential hostile intentions. Now, the scientific community is at odds here. Some people say it's just an asteroid, and it is the size of Manhattan. But these two astrophysicists from Harvard said that it is showing signs, traits of a vehicle, an alien vehicle that is under control and not showing normal asteroid signatures. Now, in 60 days, it will be behind the sun. But they do believe, these two astrophysicists from Harvard, and the study and the story is on my social media, on my Facebook, says it's an alien probe checking us out and could have hostile intentions because they would see us as a threat. Now, I don't know how they come to the conclusion that it would have hostile intentions, but I guess if we think about human nature, if we came across anything alien that we knew about, wouldn't we immediately look to think about defending ourselves against it? You know, we wouldn't have the first impression of, welcome, here we are. We would think about, hey, is this thing here to hurt us and we need to defend ourselves? So I guess in the future we will know, like I said, it will be behind the sun and we will not be able to see it. Does it pop out from behind the sun in 90 days? Which I believe they said that's the timeline here and be a threat to us? Is it just checking us out? I guess we'll see. And again, the majority of scientists have come to the conclusion that just is just a normal asteroid. And they list the reasons why they think it's not, these two Harvard astrophysicists. Are they trying to get something out there to get a name for themselves? Well, if they're 100% wrong, it's probably a very bad name for the future of their careers. But it's obviously getting noticed because they're writing stories about it, and it's raising some eyebrows. And again, the headline is, rare interstellar object the size of Manhattan could be an alien probe, Harvard scientists. I guess we'll find out. Will this finally bring us together? Will there be a left and right if the aliens are coming? Or will we band together and figure it out then? I guess we'll see. A lot of stuff happening, you know, earthquakes, major earthquakes, volcanoes going off, and now aliens. What else? All we need is the comet now. Well, this might be one, so we'll see. It's 4:52 here at WILK. We'll be back with the Rob O'Donnell Show. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 4:55 coming up on the 5 o'clock hour, 69 degrees on this Thursday, July 31st. About that kayak and canoe launch that they're putting in Carbondale down to Mayfield, I did get a text message earlier saying, hey, you can kayak right up to the peanut bar and go and have a drink and some wings. I've been to the peanut bar. I've had their wings. I do enjoy their wings as well. I said, you know, if they were on top of this, they might want to put an avenue for people to kayak or canoe right up, park them. Maybe pull them onto the shoreline there and walk right up and have a drink or some food, some lunch. Like they do, there's plenty of places like that on the Delaware. There's plenty of places like that in a lot of places. So, have some nice outside music. Make it like a summery Caribbean getaway. If they need a bartender for a tiki bar back there, I'm your guy. I'm ready. So, somebody also said that the UFO may be headed to Carbondale for UFO days, which is coming up soon. Time for a reunion. Listen, Carbondale's had its UFOs. There's even a Bigfoot sighting in Carbondale. I believe it was an albino Bigfoot, but wouldn't that be a Yeti then? I don't know. I'm not an authority on it, but I don't know. All I know is that CNN would report it as a probably white Bigfoot. Just saying. Yes, and don't have too many drinks at the tiki bar if you're canoeing or kayaking. Canoe or kayak responsibly, I say. So, you know, I talked about earlier that the Trump administration is, of course it's not available, is bringing back fitness standards to our high schools, to our schools. It's bringing back the presidential school fitness standards. And they just signed the executive order for such. And he was flanked by a whole bunch of people. You have the RFK Jr. there, J.D. Vance, vice president, was there, as well as a bunch of other people. I believe the other guy is a professional wrestler, a former professional wrestler was there. Not sure of his name. But J.D. Vance says, I think all of us have thought at one point over the past few years that kids spend a little too much time on their phones. I think it's way too much time, and I don't think it's just kids. Maybe a little bit too much time in front of the TV, and we just want kids to do better. We want them to be healthier. We want them to be happier, and we know that getting out there playing in sports or being active and healthy and physically fit is a crucial part of this. He was speaking at an event to reestablishment of the White House Sports Council, and that includes the fitness standards in our school systems, public school systems. And I think it's a great idea. And I think as parents, as guardians, you out there, you truly have to make an effort to not only and lead by example, limit your own screen time, limit your own time in front of the TV, your own time on these devices. As I sit here with four of them in front of me, you know, my iPhone, my iPad, two computer screens, and two TVs in front of – actually, three TVs if you look at the security monitors on the wall here telling we should spend less time in front of them. And I think we should. I think our kids definitely should. There are tools on your kids' devices that limit screen time. Use them. You can control them from your devices as long as you share the same systems, which you should be. You should be aware of what your kids are into, especially if they're under the age of 16. And if you're paying for the device, I don't care how old they are, you should have some sort of, well, up to the age of 18, you should have some sort of oversight and control, although I understand there's a balance of letting them have freedom and responsibility and some trust. But 16 and under, nope, you need total control of that, and you should be able to spot check any account they have in social media, any device app that's on their phone you should have access to at any given time. And if they give you pushback, if they're willing to draw a line there, then it should make you more suspicious. And that needs to start as soon as they get that device, so they're aware this is just the way it is as long as you're paying for that device. Get them away, go outside, play some sports, run around with your friends, do something constructive. It's 4, 5 o'clock.